Okay. Alright, you can talk to me.
Okay, yep. You want me to shut them shades?
Nope, that's fine.
Okay.
Alright, well, let's take me back to when you were a little kid. Did you grow up fishing? Was the family fishing? Was that part of your life from birth on, basically?
Oh, yeah. Yep. We started, oh, gosh. As far as I can remember, we were in diapers yet, and there is one little story that rings a bell is my brother Mikey. He liked to poop his pants a lot, and it was in the springtime, and that is one thing that I remember that he just grabbed them and dunked them right over the boat to wash his butt off. Yep. That's not a lie. If my brother was here right now, he would tell you, yep, Daddy did that. So, yeah, we started pretty young. And actually, where we were today, that's in a pretty close in the same area, is where that's where they fished back then that would be in the 80s, you know, that I can remember, you know, so.
Was that trolling back then too?
No, it was all jigging. It's kind of weird. I actually, our family was a jigging family up until, oh gosh, when I probably, I don't know, probably 16, 17. You know, I started tournaments when I was 17 with my dad, Wally Weekend. And then pretty much from there to now, that's been tournament time, you know, for me. So, yeah, the laid back fishing going out there is... that really doesn't consist, you know, assist in my land or in my world, you know. It's just competition all the time, you know, and it's hard to change that now.
But, yeah, when you think of people that say, oh yeah, just go out in the boat and have a few beers and relax, and if you catch some, get a bite. No, I mean, that doesn't even register with you.
Well, we still drink beer in the boat when we're while we're fishing, you know, pre-fishing anyways. But yeah, it's fun. Either way, it's fun. Even if I'm out there, you know, even like today, that we were just having fun. But I was actually still pre-fishing because I have a tournament this weekend. So there was a reason why, you know. But because I'm fishing tournaments every weekend. So that's why it's not just a leisure thing to go out there and do. You know, yeah, I'm sure I will get that. You know, soon, you know, sometime soon, but no, but it's all tournaments for me these days. But
was it always walleye, or were there other fish that you liked going for when you were younger?
Nope, just walleyes and sturgeon. That's it. That everything else, I mean, obviously, you've seen today everything bit, it doesn't matter, you know, obviously, you're catching whatever comes, but yeah, targeting, yes, walleye 100%. Yep, I'm not a bass guy. Not a hunt, or what is that, 1,001 casts or whatever they say with that musky stuff, but no patience for that at all. And no patience for jigging anymore. But yeah, but jigging was fun when we were younger. That was, we did pretty well at it. You know, my dad and I and my brother and my dad and my brother and I and my other brother, Jason. Yeah, we jigged a lot, you know, a lot on long point, you know, and we did very well. We took a lot of first, you know, we were always in the top, you know, jigging. But then I met some buddies like, oh boy, you know, like Mikey Blank and, you know, just a bunch of guys that, you know, Scott Schwartz and all them. Yeah, they're all trollers, you know, and they always have been trollers. And yeah, so I kind of jumped on that wagon with them and yeah, and I do pretty well. I'm not bragging, but I do pretty well doing that. So, yeah, that's where I'm at now.
So you said you started tournaments when you were 17.
Mm-hmm.
Was that in part because that was when you realized, hey, I'm pretty good at this? Or was that just there were enough tournaments available? Or?
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of bar. Actually, at that time, it was pretty much just Walleye Weekend, if I remember right. Maybe Otter Street, but, yeah, a lot of local bar tournaments. On the east side here, I mean, we had quite a few of them. So, and my dad was a big fisherman when he was a little boy, because my grandpa, you know, they did a lot of perch fishing too. And, oh, we did too when we were kids with my grandpa, you know, before tournament days. But, And that was always fun. We always we'd always joke around with them and, you know, tie a line on their line and then sit up in the front of the boat and jerk it like they got a bite. And they'd be like them little sons of bitches, you know. And yeah, I remember all them days. But yeah, that was fun. But yeah, it's, yeah, if I could go back, I wouldn't mind. It was fun. It was fun. But
so then as you got older, how did you find that balance between having to work and having to fish? And just like, where did fishing fall in terms of like priorities for life?
Yeah, well, if you ask my family and my brother, yeah, the priorities went over to fishing a little bit more, especially the last, you know, probably 5 years. You know, we're getting older, you know, plus we own our own business. That's a little bit easier, you know, for guys to take off to go pre-fishing. But there's some times where we don't pre-fish and we do very well. We like to play the wind. You know, there's a bunch of times that we don't even go out there, or even if we did go pre-fish, we don't even go to that spot because of the wind direction. Winnebago, you got to play the wind as best as you can, you know. And there's times where, yeah, like I said, we didn't even pre-fish that spot. Like last year, my son goes, where are we going today? I said, I don't know, wait till we get out to the buoys. Let's do that. So, and I said, okay, we're going up by Mud Creek. Did you pre-fish that? Nope. And we ended up taking third. So it's all wind stuff with that, but.
Well, obviously there's an element of equipment.
Yep.
There's an element of knowledge and there's an element of luck. How do you balance all of those?
Well, boy, that's a tough one. Yeah, there's definitely luck in it. That's hands down, it's gotta be. I mean, obviously you've seen that today. That just doesn't happen. That was pure luck today. But I would say, I mean, yeah, you got to be good at it to even have a chance. And I don't know if that makes sense, but you got to be good at it to have a chance to be lucky. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but you just got to, and it's years of experience. You got to have that. You know, I don't expect anybody just to go out there right now, you know, that hasn't fished and go and catch fish, because it's tough for the pros and, you know, the guys that grew up on the lake, you know, especially Lake Winnebago. Everybody knows that one. It's just hit and miss, you know. One day they're there, one day they're not. You know, that's normal for here. But yeah, you gotta have experience for this, you know, to do it. And it comes, you know, the competitive part of it is where the experience comes in. The more you do, the more you learn. And the more, you know, the more you learn, because you're struggling to get, if you're struggling to catch fish, you're gonna do different techniques, blah, 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 back, you know, and then you just, that's how you learn, you know, to be better. So luck just falls into play, you know. What luck means is, if to me, okay, so it's totally different when you're not when you're pre-fishing. Okay, like today, that fish, or any fish, any day, you could, when we're pre-fishing, we don't like the net. So we're just hanging it out because there's a boat next to you. So we're just hanging on to that fish until they're looking away and you go down and grab it instead of netting it. And you can, and that fish will stay on. But in a tournament, that does not happen at all. It's hard to even get them. Like last week, my partner Mikey and I, we fished the AIM series, and two of them 20 inchers, they got off immediately when I netted them. It was like that, and it was, they were gone. They were already in the net or off in the net. Mm-hmm. That's lucky, you know. But yeah, it's, you got to have a lot of luck.
Well, when you look at the difference between taking first or taking third, is that difference often luck, or is that more skill? And then is it more skill that plays out in the fact that you took third and third and third and third? Like every time you're consistent.
When you're consistent, yeah. Yep. Usually, Usually, I would
say, if you have a good day out in the boat and you think, oh, yeah, we've got a
good basket.
We've got a good basket here.
Yep.
And you're coming in and you end up third. Are you like, oh, that guy just got luckier than me? Or is it just that's how it goes?
That's just how it goes. That's just the name of the game there. Who catches the biggest or bigger one? But yeah, if you're always in the top 15, you know, depending in the bigger tournaments, if you're in the top 15, you're doing pretty. You should be proud of yourself. Definitely, 100%. I mean, because you're, you know, mostly the main tournaments that we always fish, you're fishing against the big dogs, you know, the ones that are pro fishermen. That's all they do. That's their job. You know, I can't consider myself a pro fisherman because I got a job. I still got to work. So, you know, yeah, maybe in a few years when I retire, that option is up on the table for that, and guiding and stuff like that. But yeah, no, you should be definitely proud of yourself if you're in the top 15, you know, especially out of the 300 tournament boats, you know, even if you make the top 50 out of 300, 350, that's very good. Mm-hmm. You're doing excellent, you know, and if you do it year after year, you know, which, you know, that happens, you know, and yeah, that's going back to that other being luckier experience. That's all experience for sure. You know what you're doing. You know, everything's got to come play together. But yeah, I would say experience all day long. But
so we've seen you in the boat. Like you see it starting. The fish is on there. At what point are you most excited versus most nervous or anxious or? Like, because there's a lot of emotions in that whole maybe 3-minute sequence.
Yeah. Yep. Well, the first thing that when I get, well, it's when the board goes back and how the board goes back and how it reacts. Then, because I pretty much know what it's going to be. So that's when I start reeling it in, and then that board's popping a wheelie and, yep, and it's just laying back there and all, it's solid weight, then that's when I start getting nervous, you know, hey, you know, and then we're talking to each other and, oh yeah, you know, don't screw this one up, you know, and whatever. But it's stuff happens, you know, and it happened to me, you know, a few times. It happens to everybody where you miss a fish or you hit it with the net on the outside and it gets hooked in the crank. And then, them are tough times when that happens, but yeah. Other than that,
as you're bringing it in, are you getting more and more anxious before you're about to net it, or are you getting more and more excited once you can finally like get a sense of like, oh, it's close, now it's starting to pull down?
Yeah. Then I really get nervous. Like today when that fish was just going, wanted to go down and down. Normally that doesn't happen in deep water like that. Intense. I mean, I haven't really seen that a whole lot. Unless we're in shallow water, 3 feet, because you can only go so far down. They go out. But yeah, that's when I start getting nervous. Yeah. But
so
yeah,
when do you actually get excited?
Oh, when the fish is on the floor. And then I got a little issue where I get a little too nervous and I start dry heaving a little bit here and there. You know, everybody knows that all my partners. Yeah. And actually that happened last weekend when we had them 220s. Because that one was really fat. It looked like a 23, 24, but it was only 21 3/4. But it was really girthy. Yeah. I started gagging a little bit there. But yeah, that's when I get nervous. Yep. And then I start shaking a little bit. And yeah. Yep. Them are good times. That's when I'm pumped up, when that happens. You know, anytime, actually. Especially in a tournament. That doesn't really happen when I'm pre-fishing. It's just when you're competing. Today's the day. No screw-ups. Pay attention. You know, that's where the nerves kick in.
And has that changed over the years? I mean, the reaction that we see, is that any different from you today than it was when you were 17 or 20 or 30?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a little yeah, that's a little different. Yeah, that does. This probably didn't start really kicking in until probably about, I don't know, 10, maybe 10, 15 years ago when my partner and I, Stone, the one that passed away, we were hitting tournaments pretty hard. We were going all over all kinds of different states and stuff, and we were getting into it pretty heavy. And then that's when it was, when everything was getting more intense, you know, and more nerve-wracking, more money involved into it. Pretty much. No, it wasn't my whole life. No, I was more calmer and 17, probably 17 to 30 for sure. I was, you know, younger. So that's. But now it's, nothing will change now, no more. I don't think I'll be able to calm down anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's the drive. I love it. I thought I was going to quit a few times because of different situations going on in my life. But nah. All my buddies, all my fishing buddies, it's in your blood, Junior. That's it. You're in it. You're never going to quit until you're done. You know, until you're dead. It's just going to, that's the way you are, you know. And it's like, yeah, it's hard. It's hard, but it's just the way it's going to be. And I like it, so.
So tell me about your old partner. He's a relative, right?
Second cousin. Yeah. Yep. He grew up in St. Cloud, Wisconsin. And I grew up in Pipe, Wisconsin. So
when did you start fishing with him regularly?
Yeah, that's probably, I don't know, it'd be about 18, give or take. I was thinking about that, and it's so hard to remember because we fished so many times together. I actually lived with him too, also. It's got to be right around 18, 20 years that we fished together, and we did a lot of, yeah, we did a lot of tournaments, and we were a pretty good team. We were kind of unstoppable, you know. It was tough to beat us, but, and the reason, you know, we always were thinking what each person was thinking, each other was thinking. You know, if I was thinking a color of a bait, he already had it on, or vice versa. And I'd ask him, did you do this? That's already out there. Or did you put a bottom on? So it's on the first board, you know. And I wouldn't even, because I'm paying attention to what I'm doing, and we just know each other and fished like we were brothers, or like we were, I should say, like we were twins, like we were thinking everything identically the same. And it's kind of creepy, but that's just how it went, you know. And I lost the best partner ever. I mean, and everybody knows that, you know. And he was best friends with everybody, you know. He was a good guy, but. And then cancer came along, and then he wasn't doing good for, you know, a few years, and then it was going away, and then all of a sudden, you know, that would have been 3 years ago now. Yeah, he was passed 2 years ago. He passed away in February 18th, if I remember right. And then then it came back. He had a spot in between his heart and his lung. And that took him. They couldn't cure that one no more. But yeah, at first he had lymph node, and all of his, you know, that was doing better, you know, and they pretty much had it gone, if I remember right. But yeah, then all of a sudden this one came about, and that crushed it because it was too close to his heart. And yep, that was sad. That was sad. That's hard.
Were you still able to fish with him in those last few years?
I think 2 years prior, if I remember right, 2 years prior that we actually did. Yes, we did, because we had a fishing tournament in Saginaw Bay, and he still went. He was feeling okay, but his arms, you know, they were pretty tough on him. But what was I gonna say? Yeah, so we knew about the spot before this, and he was a pretty quiet guy. He didn't say a whole lot, and he didn't bitch. He didn't want anybody to feel sorry for him. He just, even though he was in so much pain, he just acted like he wasn't in pain, you know. But I think that was pretty much the last tournament. And yeah, and actually we, and it sucks. And now looking back at that, I wish we missed the ring. We were in, I think it was the NWT, NTC or something like that. And we missed the ring. It was by like 3 or 4 ounces. And that would have been super nice, you know. We didn't know that was the last tournament for him, but it was so close. You know, we took 26th and we had to be in 25th, you know, and that's out of, I think there was, I don't even know how many boats was in that, 400 or something. And it was on a, which bay was I on again? That was up in Michigan, upper Michigan or whatever. So yeah, that was, and we never fished it before. And we went out there just talking to people, going to different bars, you know, when we went for supper, talking to them and bullshitting with them, trying to get a little bit of information here and there and stuff. And it worked. It was, yeah, and we did pretty well, you know, and never fishing in 100, 200 feet and, or 300 feet and put, you know, pulling them out of there. It's pretty neat. And then you got to fizzle them and you got to take a, you have to get a needle because their air sacs that are inside their belly, they'll blow up and it'll kill the fish because you can't kill, you know, they got to be alive. So then you got to take a, needle. You just go to your local, you know, hospital and just get little needles. And then you 7 over and 7 up scales, you know, from the butt, 7 over and then 7 up. And then you poke it in, but you have to have it underneath the water. And then you just rub the belly and then the bubbles come right out. And then just like that, that fish is upside down. It flips right back over and like it's brand new life. Yeah, it's pretty neat. It's a whole different extreme up there. Just like South Dakota, that's a different character up there. That's deep water, but yeah, you pull them out of there, you got to do that too. So, yeah.
So, after he passed, what was that like for you to have to try and go back out there without him and know that, you know, that partner was gone?
Well, that was one of the things I was saying before, situations where that I didn't want to do it no more. But I know that he wouldn't have wanted me to quit, you know, because that's what we love, you know. But it was tough. It was tough. It was super tough. And all my friends were supportive and helped me out and, you know, kicked me in the ass a little bit. And, hey, you know, you got to we understand, you know, it's hard. And it was hard, super hard. But no, I got back in it, and actually I still have Stone's ashes in my boat, so he's with me every day, you know. And there's times where my son and I, you know, we're going and we're doing good or whatnot, and he'd open up the glove box so Stone could watch, you know, or just make little jokes, you know. But usually every tournament that we're in, either whoever I'm fishing with, Mikey Blank, Scott Schwartz, you know, my buddies, you know, all my buddies. When we go out there, we got two good buddies that passed away, Louis Voigt and Jason Gable also. But every time we go out, we always look up when we're on the way out, you know, hey, come on boys, get us a couple today, you know. And that is luck, that, you know, but it seems to be helping a little bit, so that matters. But yes, we pray to them pretty much every day I go out in that lake, you know, especially during the tournament. That's we're always talking about them, you know. Stories will never die, never, ever, ever, you know. And they're talked about a lot, and by different people in different bars, you know. Oh, you remember so-and-so, and, you know, yeah, all the good times. But yeah, that was tough. That was super tough to get back in the boat, you know, because then you sit there, and then you look over, and he's not there, or he's not telling me to do what we did for years, you know. It's like my son, you know, maybe tell me to do this, you know, because, you know, it was 100% total different change, you know. Yes, my son knows what he's doing fishing. I taught him that. Nothing wrong with him, you know. Very good. All my buddies are good. They're all pro fishermen. They're all, I love them all, you know. But yeah, no, that was tough. But I'm over that. I'm over that now, you know.
Well, it seems like it's mostly the good. The good memories that come with it.
Yeah, and we really didn't have no, I mean, a few times we yelled at each other, but it was, you catch a fish, and then you're fist pumping. No, that just went away. That went bye-bye. We forgot about that. Or we'd have a beer, and then, oh, yeah, you know, now we're having fun, whatever. Yeah. No, it's, yeah, they're, like I said earlier, that he was a quiet guy. I mean, when I first met him, when I first asked him to fish a tournament with me, and it was the NTC MWC, actually that plaque is out there, so then I could tell you exactly, but the year, he owned a bar. He owned a bar, it was called Fat Boys in St. Cloud, Wisconsin. And I walked into the bar, and he's a pretty quiet guy, so he just sits down, he minds his own business, whatever, and I sat next to him, and then I remember him looking over at me, he goes, "What's up?" And he said, "What's going on today?" "Just got done work, whatever, blah, blah, blah." And I said, "I got a question for you." He goes, "What's that?" He goes, "Well, would you like to start fishing with me in tournaments and stuff?" And I said, "There's one coming up, and it's a big one. Just wondering if you'd want to be interested." And he goes, "Well, give me a few days, I'll think about it." And we drank it. He didn't say another word after that. We drank the beer, had a couple beers, whatever, and I left. And then he called me a couple days later, and he goes, "Yeah, let's do it, you know." And then we had a couple sponsors. I asked my uncle, Dave Berger. He owns Daymark Metals. And yeah, he sponsored us. And a couple other teams, you know, like Riverhouse, he was always my sponsor. And then, we ended up fishing that tournament, and we did pretty well. For the first time fishing together, we actually took sixth place. That I do remember. That's pretty much when it started. Then we were hooked. Then we went out and got a bunch of sponsors, Mercury, you name it, all over the place, and that's how that ended up, you know, us fishing together. So that was pretty cool.
One of the things that we're interested in is the relationships that exist in the boat, that are created in a boat, whether it's between, you know, cousins or spouses or friends, but there's a different relationship that comes out of people that spend that time together.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you come closer and closer, you know, the more time you spend, you know, in the relate. And I guess it doesn't matter who anybody's with, you know, you're having fun, you're out fishing, you know. Yeah, there's times where, you know, you dumb, you know, it's just, it is what it is. But family, you know, and I always fish with family, that's all the time, you know, my whole family fishes. It's just, yeah, between friends and family, it's about the same for me. I treat everybody the same, you know. I don't yell too much. Not I don't even yell at my guys at work. it's not me, you know. We always have fun out there, you know. I mean, and obviously you've seen that, you know, a few times, you know. And then there's always stuff that happens, it seems to happen to me, but it makes it interesting. I love it. But yeah, it's always, I love having family out in the boat, you know. My son, this year I didn't get to fish with him too much. I fish with my partner Stup, Kevin Schaefer, majority this week, but next year I'll fish more with my son. Because he's been fishing with other guys, and the little poop, he beat me a few times, but he's got to remember who taught him and who showed him the spots where to go. So yeah, but he always gives me a little hard time on that, but I'm just proud of him, you know, because when I can't do it no more, he's going to take my spot, and I want him to be like I was, you know. Definitely 100%, you know. But and I hope he gets his daughter into it also, Addison. I hope it keeps going on. Like my brother Jason, my brother Jason, he's got how many kids, you know, and they all like to fish too, you know. So the Gable name, yeah, we got kids out there that hopefully will take our spots someday. So yeah.
So we've heard that there are obviously some husband and wife teams that there are people that fish together, and there's plenty of where it's a couple of friends or siblings or something.
Yep.
When it comes to relationships, how do you manage a relationship when your spouse or your partner doesn't want to fish? I mean, would it be possible for you to date someone who is like, or is it, is that a conflict sometimes when they're like, well, why are you married to the boat?
All right. Well, yeah, you're asking the right guy that question. yeah, that's pretty much the story of my life. Why I'm single now. Two main relationships. Yeah, I was fishing too much, constantly gone out of states and stuff, you know, and like my partner Stone, he had one bad relationship, and that person happened to do a lot of stuff wrong, and you know, she ended up, you know, passing away. So he never dated anybody else after that. That was way when he was younger, and after that he was always single. So then when I moved in with him after I got divorced from my first relationship, so it was always me and him. I mean, we did everything together, and it's not like we were just partners, not any funny stuff. We were just good buddies, and that's it, you know. And we fished, we hunt, all the time. That's all we did. So it was kind of hard to get a girlfriend, which I did get a girlfriend, but that didn't end up, you know. Yeah, there I was gone too much, way too much, you know. Yeah, and I got partners, and I know people, which I'm not going to say their names, that went through and recently went through divorces because of that reason. That you know, we're fishing too much, and it's tough. It's tough to keep a relationship, you know. You know, I would like to be in a relationship with this one now, but and if I was, I would definitely, because this one I really, really love, this one I would probably quit a lot of the tournaments or give up, you know, a majority of them. I wouldn't be fishing every weekend, not even close. I'd just do the bigger ones, a few of the bigger ones out here, and maybe a couple bar tournaments, and that's good. You know, you got to keep mama happy. That's, boys, I got to tell you that. You got to keep them happy, because it doesn't end well, you know. And I seen that on Facebook the other day, just a meme, and it had a half a boat. She got my other half. It was funny, but yeah. So yeah, when it comes to relationships and fishing, if you want to keep your relationship, you better not do what I do. That's all I got to say.
Well, you find know. A way to get him in the boat with you.
Yes, and that would love that. But it's just hard to find. It's hard to find one like that. They just don't fall out of the sky like that. You know, that's just the way it goes. I mean, and yes, there is a lot of guy-girl teams, husband-wife teams. Yeah, and that's awesome. That I wish that was me, you know, but I didn't find the right one for that one yet, you know, and I don't think the one that I want or that I do love right now doesn't really want. She likes boating. She loves boating, but that's about it, and swimming and stuff like that, you know.
A different intensity that's required to work with you on that.
Yeah, you gotta have the drive a little bit, because otherwise it just probably won't work, you know. That's where we're getting arguments, and that's no fun. That's, you know, I hate arguing, especially with women. I hate it. You know, that's just not my gig, you know.
So have you, and this kind of may sound like a weird question, but have you tried online dating? Have you done anything before?
No.
Do you know guys that have done
it? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's actually worked. It's some of my buddies, actually one that's coming tonight, Dave Bose, he just went through a divorce also. And he's already found one already that he's he really, really likes, you know. And like my buddy Scott up north, he met his soon-to-be wife here. I think they've been together for 8 years or something now. And met, I don't even know what site it was, but it was an online dating one. Yeah, and it worked for him. There's a bunch of guys I know that it worked, but I'm just not... I like the one that I'm after right now, and I'm never going to quit.
No, I guess the question there is, do they actually post a picture of them with a fish? Because we talked to a lot of women who have a lot of very strong feelings about guys on dating sites with a fish picture.
Oh.
And that. Are you aware of whether, like, I mean, if you were going to do something, or if one of your friends, would you say, oh, yeah, get that nice one with the big walleye?
I guess I don't know if that's a turn on or turn off for them on a dating site. Yeah. Oh, the guys. Oh, so he fishes. Nope. Scroll to the left. So I don't think I would probably do that. just because of my prior relationships, it just doesn't work with a fish. So obviously, I better not do that.
But do most guys have pictures of them smiling without a fish, or is it, are all of the, like,
oh, to, yeah, there's a lot of, yeah, guys with holding fish, oh my god, yeah, there's tons of them, just, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do, you know. But
I mean, how many pictures do you have of yourself where you're smiling and you're not holding a fish?
Oh my lord. Oh, how many times, say that again?
How many do you have pictures of yourself where you're smiling but you're not holding a fish, or the only,
oh, yeah,
are the only, like, the most of the smiling pictures of you, like, we want
to, oh, no, I smile, yeah, no, I smile in other pictures. Yeah. Oh, I see what you're getting at. That was funny. No, I'm usually pretty happy guy all the time. Okay. Yeah, that's, no, but I really do smile a lot when I'm holding a fish. Oh, for sure. Yeah, because that's, you know. Yeah, and how can't you, like, all the fish that I have in my garage up on the wall, how can you not smile when you got them on the end of your line and they're fighting, and it's crazy, it's intense, it's what we do. And then, yeah, and then you're high-fiving in the boat, that's when I'm really smiling. But no, I do smile otherwise. yeah, and if I ever did do that online dating, which I won't, I'm sure I'd probably put a picture smiling in there. But yeah.
So as far as, you know, do people who don't fish walleye understand what it is about walleye, or why are walleye like the fish?
Well, it's just how you get brought up. You know, there's guys that bass fish that they can't stand walleye. That's what they do, is just bass. I think that's just how you got brought up. Because I'm sure I'd be bass fishing if my dad was a bass fisherman, right? I'm guessing. But in it, also who your friends are, who you grow up with, you know, you wanna be with them also, and, you know, hang out with them, and that's what they do, that's what you do, that's just the way you do it, you know. But yeah, that's what it. Yeah, it's just how. Oh, you got brought up. I'm guessing that's how that works.
But for you, why is walleye? Why didn't you switch to bass at some point? They fight more. There's people, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah, they're
muskier, bigger. You can catch more panfish.
Yeah, well, walleye are bigger than bass. You know, than being a bass guy, and obviously muskies are bigger than that. But if you got the patience for muskie, which I have absolutely not, but walleye are like in the middle. That's like. You're getting every excitement, everything out of a walleye. You know, you get the fighting, which I know you get fighting in bass, but the bass, you know, yeah, you know, you can catch 10-pound bass, but that's just, you know, I just don't get excited over that, you know. But, you know, coming from other people's, how they think, you know, for me to tell people that walleye is dead center, that you get everything out of a walleye, you know, you get the action, you get the pullbacks, you get there's so much more. Yeah, you don't get a walleye jumping out of the water like a bass, that's how we know when bass are on all the time. They jump out, you know, and it's like, eh. But yeah, no, I would, it's, you know, it's hard to say, you know, about that, but.
And you've got a sink full of walleye behind us, right?
Yes, yes, yep.
Now, is that Erie walleye then?
Oh, yeah, yep, them are all Erie walleye. Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah, that's the other thing with us, you know, why I mentioned that earlier. With us, we always, us tournament fishermen, we always like to keep the walleyes in the lake. I don't hardly know any of my buddies, and I know a lot of them, you know, because fishing tournaments, you learn to know a lot that actually keep them, because most of these guys, most of my guys, almost all of my guys, we go to Erie, because Erie, they want you to take them fish, you know, because there's so many, I mean, there's millions of them, you know, so they need you to take them out. We always like to keep in our local lakes and lakes that, you know, that we're trying to make better, you know, we put them back. So yes, all of them walleyes that we keep are from Erie, for sure. Yep.
So what is it about a walleye fish fry that makes it so special?
Well, it's when you get your guys together, all your teammates and stuff, and wish we could do it more often. But yeah, it's the camaraderie. It's, you know, everybody's there. We're going to be sitting out there talking, you know, talking fishing stories, and I'm sure talking about what happened today, and, you know, and all the past, you know, and with Stone, and, you know, it's, and we're all together, and we're just, you know, even though we're friends, it's to me, it's more like family. We're all family no matter what. I don't care if you got the last name or if we're a cousin or not. You know, to me, we're friends, we're family. That's my brother, you know, all my brothers, you know, that's, and it's fun just to get everybody together. That's, you know, and we always play bags, or, you know, we have cocktails and, you know, talk smart, and yeah, it's fun. It's fun. Yep.
So one of the other things that we're looking at is the amount of research that the state is doing right now, the DNR. Yeah. Glyphwick and the universities, they're looking, there's like groups like Walleyes for Tomorrow and some other, yep, volunteer groups. They're spending so much money to try and figure out, you know, where walleye are declining, how we can get more walleye, or to raise walleye to put back in the lakes, or figuring out, you know, what's the best possible way to do all the stocking.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's the best way to keep a fish alive if you do plan to do catch and release? There's a lot of money being spent on that.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a justification that it's worth it, or if walleye declined, that it would just be, you'd fish for something else?
Oh no, it's definitely worth it. I mean, they're doing their job. That is for sure. You know, especially with the walleye, like this year. Oh my gosh, there's so many little fry walleyes out there that made it. That this year's it's insane out there. How many walleyes? You know, and it, when we're out there trolling, it looks like we're in Erie. You can go out in the mud, and the arcs on your screens are just like an Erie. No, they're definitely 100% doing their job, you know, with walleye, with restocking it with food. You know, there's abundance of that out there this year, and then especially with sturgeon spearing, that is doing very, very well. I give them 100% credit on that. That is, they're doing their research, they're doing their, you know, their netting. You know, they're restocking. They're, you know, it's amazing. You know, I got to give it to them. You know, there's a few things I, you know, disagree with. You know, which we talked about today a little bit. You know, with putting on a limit. You know, because a lot of locals keeping them little guys. You know, and that isn't helping our system out at all. But otherwise, other than that, yeah, no, I agree.
Like, there'd be something lost if walleye...
Oh, God, if they didn't do... If the universities and all these places, the DNR and all of them, if they didn't do this, oh, no, that lake wouldn't be nothing. Nothing at all. Or even any lake. It doesn't matter. Any lake. I mean, because obviously, like in Erie, holy cow, they can't even keep up with them, you know? But yeah, no, they're definitely doing their job. I can tell you that. I have nothing against them guys, just on a few little issues, you know, that could be easily taken care of. But yeah, but otherwise, yeah, they're definitely doing their job.
But as far as like the need to do this, like walleye has a place in Wisconsin as far as in society and culture.
Like, oh yeah,
it matters.
Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah, that's like the king of the fish in, well, besides sturgeon in Wisconsin. That's just, you know, that's just the fish you fish. Well, that you should fish anyways, you know, because they're fun. They're fun to catch, you know, and they're hard to catch too. You know, they're finicky, especially out in Winnebago. It day by day, like I was saying, but
it's like they're the right balance of skill required to do it, but then the size is the reward.
Yeah, right? The sizes are the reward. I mean, it's that the size out here is definitely coming back. You're catching a lot of 20s. I mean, there's 28s, there's 29s. Actually, my partner Stone and I, you know, I think we got like, if I remember right, like 3 28s out there. We got a 29 and one just shy of 30. The one tournament that we were in, it was called Monkey's Tournament. It's on the west side. It's Mikey Blank's uncle passed away. That was a long time ago already. And they do a memorial every year, not no more. But that one year we had, we came in with 28 pounds. That's the most that we've ever, the best we've ever done for like just on Winnebago. That's unheard of, you know, to do. You know, and that's real pounds. That's not aim scale or nothing like that. Because aim scale, that's a total different. You know, if you get 30 pounds, you pretty much got like 22 or 23 pounds, just because of how they got it calculated out. You know, between length and pounds. So, but yeah, no, they're doing good. The system is doing. It's on fire right now. You know, and I just hope it keeps up. There's a way ton, plenty of bait. The minnows and the perch minnows. They came back, and I don't know how they came into this system, but yeah, there's tons of them all over. Like during sturgeon spearing, holy cow, you can see if you're using a downview panoptics or live scope, whatever you got, you can just see the whole bottom, and you're dead still because obviously you're not moving on ice. So the whole bottom is just moving, and it's all bait. I mean, the fish are healthy. You know, the one today we got was a little bit skinnier, but you know, most of them that we're catching out there, they're fat. You know, they're doing, yeah, the restocking, that what they're doing, they're definitely doing a very, very good job.
For people that don't fish, do you think they understand how much money goes into the economy through fishing?
Through fishing?
When we were at the tournament with you, like just walking through the parking lot, like
hundreds of thousands and million, or actually millions of dollars sitting in a parking lot. No, you take a big tournament, you know, that's each boat is 100,000 and there's a 300. Oh, that's just in boats. Now you got equipment, you know, you got trucks, now you got, you know, yeah, there's millions and millions. It's crazy what a guy puts into it. Do you have to do that? Absolutely not. You could just, and that doesn't make you, me, or better than you. If you go out there with just a 16-foot puddle jumper, that's fine. I'm not, you can go out there and catch them same fish, you know. It's who you are, you know. Do you want to fish tournaments? A lot of people don't, you know. Or they're older, or they, you know, they just want to go out and have fun. Yeah. You don't need a boat like that to do that, you know. But there is a lot of money that flies around. I mean, all the bait shops, everything, bait. It's crazy. If you would take fishing away, period, or the DNR would just shut it down and say no, that would be a huge, huge mistake. That hurt the economy, something fierce. Like, something bad would probably happen if that would happen, you know. So, and I don't see that in the future, ever.
No, but if fishing declined because they weren't doing enough to keep enough fish there.
Yeah, that would definitely hurt. Yeah.
Feel like it's worth to spend the money to do that.
Yeah, are you saying if they didn't do what they did?
Yeah.
Yeah, well then, no, it would be gone. Oh, definitely. I wouldn't want to go out there fishing for nothing, you know, or very few, you know, that'd be pretty tough.
It would be harder for some of the people to justify the new boat and all the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because nowadays they don't give boats away no more. I mean, your average boat is a buck, you know, 120 to 150,000. You know, that's hard to swallow, but.
Is it easier for you if, like, you don't add up how much you spent on fishing?
Oh, we don't talk about that stuff. Yeah, yeah. But I could talk about it because I don't have a wife, so I really don't care. But yeah. But otherwise, no, I wouldn't bring that stuff up too much about the past with that, because I could be retired way long time ago already if that was the case, because I bought enough boats. I don't even know how many. I don't know. Would I give it back, or, you know, how would I say that? Would I take it back?
Would you trade it at experience?
No, I think I'd keep it the same. No. I'm glad I did what I did. You know, yeah, I give my dad crap, or my buddies, I talk about my dad, and it's like, yeah, it's all your fault that that I'm divorced and I got to spend all this money on fishing. Yep, thanks, Dad. You know, I appreciate it a lot, you know, and yep, no problem, son. I'm here for you all day, you know, but
could have just golfed or gotten into woodworking.
Right? Yeah, nah, golf is not my, that is one thing I can't stand. I hitting a ball and going to chase after it and picking it up and hitting it again and chasing after it, not my gig. No, and a lot of my buddies do, and they ask me to go along. Well, you just be the cart, you drive the beer around and stuff, you know. And it's like, just that whole thing doesn't turn me on at all. So that it's mainly hunting and fishing. That's pretty much what I do, you know. I shoot pool, you know. We shot pool since we were little. We always had a pool table in our basement, so we're pretty decent at pool. Our family is too, so we're in leagues and stuff, you know. That's another thing, you know, you're gone once or twice every week at night, you know. Old ladies don't like that neither, you know. So it's yeah, so it's pretty, if you want to keep a relationship, you might as well just quit it all and stay home. If you want to have a loving one anyways. Unless she likes to fish and do all that stuff, you know, that's, hey, giddy up, that's more power to you. You know, I wish everybody the luck like that, but I'm lucky, but not that type of luck in that direction anyways. But
well, I think we're good on this end. We would like to put the mic back on you and have you walk us through out in your garage.
Okay.
The mounts and some of the trophies and stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of talk us through there, but we're good in here.